You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, brought to you by BetUS. I am your host, Mike, joined as always by Big E, Ian Berger. Ian, how are you doing tonight?
Big E fins up. We are talking about a 53-man roster tonight, Mike.
I know. We have a ton of news to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First, as we always do, a big shout-out to everyone watching at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, for everyone watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group and by the great Carlos Hernandez. And if you're watching on Facebook, folks, share this video. Share it on Facebook. Share it. Spread it around. We want as much interaction as possible. And, of course, everyone on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel and smash that like button.
Smash it.
Let's start off. I'm gonna start off with a statement here. This will be a show that we will not talk about Deshaun Watson. Here's why. We cannot be around the clock, 24-7, wall-to-wall coverage of Deshaun Watson. Obviously, he's been in the news since Saturday, and he's been talked about on some other podcasts on Saturday, and it's been stuff on the site. We will continue to put stuff on the site because that's news. When it comes to the podcast world, until there's new news, we can't say anything more that's out there. And, you know, it is a story that will hang over the head of this organization until Watson is traded, whether it's to Miami or somewhere else. With any story, you know, there's a shade of gray somewhere in the middle. And that's where this story probably sits. I think some fans are on each side of the extreme of what they think, but the truth is in the middle. I will say this. Adam Beasley of the Pro Football Network wrote an outstanding article today. Outstanding. Sort of laying out the entire situation with Watson to Miami. Everyone should check it out. Educate yourself. Because he separates the fact from the fiction. And he lays it out what the Miami Dolphins are thinking, what the long-term plan is. Just read the article. I'm not going to go over it because we're not talking about Watson tonight. Adam Beasley has broken many stories with the Miami Dolphins. He is as locked into them as anybody. So very good. But when there's new news to talk about with Watson, we'll talk about it then. Until then, we're talking about the current team as of today.
Excellent.
And that's it.
Can I just finish that sentiment with something that the coach said today in a press conference? Our quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa, and I don't know how many other ways I can say the exact same thing over and over again. So that's all we need to know right now. We're only
and when that changes, or if it changes,
right? If it changes, we'll talk about it. But right now, until he's our guy, and we're not supporting him. All Dolphins fans are behind him, want him to win Week One against the New England Patriots. So we're going to support the guy. He's our quarterback, and I've said it all along. I think the kid's going to do great this year. And until we see him in an actual regular season football game, we cannot make that assessment until that point. And last year, he was not bad. He was not great. He was good enough, as I've said in a couple of different shows. So I'm excited to see him. And I'm glad he's getting the opportunity because you know what? He plays well. He plays really well. There's zero conversations about anyone else, and that's awesome. So
okay, so let's get to the news. There's a lot of news this week with the roster. The first thing I want to talk about was Jakeem Grant, as there was a lot of talk about him for the past, I don't know, I'd say the whole offseason. Would he be here? Wouldn't he be here? He restructured his deal, and by him restructuring his deal, he is now a member of the Miami Dolphins in 2021. He lost the final 2 years of his deal. This year, he can earn up to $3 million. It's probably his last year with the Dolphins and how this all worked out, but he's on the Miami Dolphins, Ian, for 2021 as a returner and also on the bench as a wide receiver. What are your thoughts on that news?
I think, you know, me personally, I was really happy with it. I've said it before that he is the best returner that we have on the, you know, on the team. And if you put him as the seventh wide receiver, which is going to probably end up being his position on the depth chart, you know, then his primary role is going to be kick returning and punt returning. And that's where he excels, right? And if he is needed to jump into that wide receiver role, you know, we saw it in preseason, we saw it in training camp that he can make those catches. I know sometimes we have we challenge him being able to transition those skills during the regular season, but that's not going to be his main role. So I'm okay with it. And I'll tell you too, I think I've mentioned it to you before, Mike, my wife is his number one fan. She loves Jakeem, loves the smile, loves the attitude that he brings to the field. So I was happy to hear that he was able to be kept.
Yeah. And as a sixth or a seventh wide receiver, if we need him this year in a key spot, we're in trouble anyways. Let's just be honest. That means a lot of guys ahead of him got hurt or something happened. So let's just hope we can just sort of focus on being a return guy. And when I see him, just on a side note, have you ever seen the movie Little Giants?
It's been a while, but yeah, I did see that movie.
You know the wide receiver kid who can run super fast, but he just can't hold on to the ball. But he makes the one catch in the one game at the end. Every time I see Jakeem Grant, I think of that movie and that kid. He just reminds me of him. One time, he's got to make the catch. One time.
So Jakeem Grant, will tell you that one catch that he missed with against the Chiefs last year. That's the one that keeps running through my head over and over again.
Exactly. So, waiver claim. So after the Miami Dolphins made their roster cuts, which we'll get to all that in our thoughts, they put in a waiver claim for, shocking, a cornerback, Ian. Elijah Campbell was cut by the Jets. I don't know a lot about him. What I do know is he's primarily a nickelback. That's where his strength is. He spent time in the XFL, and he also played three games for the Jets last year. So the Miami Dolphins picked up Elijah Campbell, and they let go of Jamal Perry, a safety. If Perry clears waivers, I would expect – tomorrow afternoon, they try to put him on the practice squad, but I don't know. Perry's a good player. He might get picked up by somebody. Also, when it comes to signings, and I know we'll get to Malcolm Perry in a bit, they also picked up Jabal Sherrard, the end from the Patriots. He's a veteran. He's over 30 years old, but he has some familiarity with Coach Flores, and he will be on the practice squad to start off the year. So any thoughts on Perry and Campbell in particular?
I think here's what I'm going to go back to. I'm going to go back to the coach and his history of being a player evaluator. And something that we have learned from Coach Flores is that he loves to accumulate the back end guys, right? Your defensive backs, your cornerbacks, your safeties. And for some reason, he liked this kid from the Jets and he brought him on. I don't know a lot about him either. I was reading the article about, you know, that he brings, there's a lot of positive skills that he brings, but you know, I always question when a player gets cut from another team, but that doesn't mean the Dolphins can't do something with him, which is, you know, which is what our hope is. I mean, we look at Emmanuel Ogba. I don't think anybody really knew his name before he started playing with us and got 9 sacks last season. So, you know, the coach is going to work with him. If he doesn't work out, you know, then he'll find somebody else. He'll find the next person in line. But I wasn't overly surprised. We know, you know, after the cuts were announced and they were brought down to 53, you just knew that was not going to be the final 53-man roster.
Yeah, and they might not be done yet because more guys were released today after the waiver claims went through, and Miami could put in a waiver claim on a few of those guys. So this week is far from over for anybody. Will Fuller, the wide receiver, he is now officially suspended. He cannot practice with the team until after their week one game. So Will Fuller will not be in any practices between now and the week one game. So he is home with his feet up here waiting to return until after the week one game. So there's that. An interesting tidbit. Jim Nantz met with the media today, and he said that, you know, everything's, of course, subject to change. So if the Miami Dolphins start off like 0-4, this might change. But as of now, the plan in pencil, at least, is for Jim Nantz and Tony Romo to do the game where the Miami Dolphins play in Tampa Bay for CBS. So I've never really cared who the announcers are because I know some fans get worked up on, I hate when so-and-so does the game. I love when someone, I don't really care. But for people who want, you know, sort of respect from the number one broadcast team, Nantz and Romo, it looks like we'll probably be doing the Miami Dolphins Tampa Bay game in October. Are you going to that game, E?
Yes, sir. I'm going to that game. We've got an entire group of Miami Dolphins fans who will also be going to that game. So I'm excited. And you know what? When you get Nance and Romo to cover, they're basically saying that's the best game of the week. That's when they're going to have those guys. That's the Tom Brady game.
Yep. With the champs. But you also have a little bit of an in-state rivalry there. I mean, kind of, not really. But and then you also got the storyline of Miami with our quarterback. So it will be a game with a lot of eyeballs. And plus, Tampa Bay is only on CBS a handful of times, so they want to get Nance and Romo with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady as much as possible. It makes sense from a TV aspect. Okay, let's talk about the roster cuts. And I have most of them here. I'm not going to read through all of them because some of them are not really a shock. But let's go through some of the names and also which ones are on the practice squad, which ones are not, which ones went somewhere else. So the big one from earlier in the week was Bernardrick McKinney was let go. I got to be honest, I'm a little surprised for a couple things. Number one, it sounds like the Dolphins were surprised he's only a one- or two-down linebacker. Which, did you watch this kid play? He can't be on the field in passing downs. Yes, he struggled in training camp on passing downs. I didn't need a crystal ball to know that was going to be the case. He is a middle linebacker, a thumper to stop the run. This Miami Dolphins team is built with speed linebackers and not that guy in the middle to stop the run. They're going to be playing a lot of nickel and a lot of dime. They are not built with a guy in the middle like McKinney to stop the run. Now, for McKinney, he restructured his contract, took a pay cut, and it didn't help. They still let him go. I'm sure he's swearing out his agent right now. Ian, were you surprised by the move of Bernardrick McKinney?
I wasn't. I'll say I was surprised just because he had a really, really strong practice. And I remember reading the live tweets from practice one day, and his name was getting mentioned a ton of times, you know, that he was stopping this player, he was stopping that player, he was in the backfield. The bad news is that was really the only time I ever heard his name being called. So that's why it really didn't surprise me overall that it happened. And, you know, the Dolphins, the coach is going to, and I've seen this comment a lot over the last week. The NFL is a really tough business, and it really is a business. And the coaches, you know, even though they had him, you know, take a cut in pay, you know, there's something to be said about going from, if I remember correctly, it was $3 million to $750,000.
No, he was making he cut his pay by $3.5 million. I forget the exact numbers, but that's how much he gave up.
But there's a reason, right, that happened. It's possibly because maybe something was going on that we're not aware of. But you know, for a player not to say, "I want all that money," it makes you just ask additional questions that we probably won't know the answers to, but
yeah. Anyway. And I do think the return of Elandon Roberts really did play a factor because Roberts got hurt late in the year against the Raiders. You know, he's back and ready to go now, which I think is ahead of schedule. So I think that also probably changed things for McKinney. Matt Skira was also let go. That's not a surprise after Saturday when they traded for Greg Mantz. And with Matt Skira, you know, at the time we signed him, I laughed on this podcast. I can't believe we're signing a center who can't snap the ball. And I don't mean he can't. I mean, he has trouble snapping it. In the NFL, that's kind of a big deal. So, you know, and then in camp, I think a week or two ago, once again, he had trouble snapping the ball in practice. It's like, I mean, you can't. If they were a team, if this was 2019, it was that team, you say, who cares? In a team that won 10 games that wants to make the playoffs, you can't risk that. You just can't.
I just wanted to add with Skura, you know, I was very optimistic that he was going to be the guy, right? But everyone continued to say he had had a lot of problems in Baltimore when he was a center with the Ravens. And from day one, Michael Dieter had that center spot really taken. So I think it was either Skura was going to try and compete for that starting spot, or he was competing for a second spot, or the second team spot, but he couldn't get off the third team during training camp, during preseason, for whatever the reason was.
I think it was 2018 and 2019 was like one of the best centers in football. I mean, he was that good. Then he had an injury. Ever since that injury, he's never been the same. Unfortunately, just one of those things. It's just never been the same, is what it is. And I do think with Michael Dieter, I think he's on notice too, because not that Mans is great, but now I think he's got at least real competition at the position. So it ain't going to be now, because obviously they have a game too soon. In a month or so, if he's not up to snuff, I think he might be your new center real quick here, because I have very little faith in Michael Dieter. Malcolm Perry, this was the one that kind of stung a little. And I think if Grant did not restructure, I have a feeling he's gone. Malcolm Perry's here. I think he had a restructure to hold on that roster spot. Just a guess, no inside information. Perry was waived, and then he was picked up by the Patriots, which is not a shock, because with Perry last year, he was expected to sign with the Patriots after the draft as an undrafted free agent. Then Miami, literally at the end of the draft, one of the final picks took Malcolm Perry. I like Perry. Now, look, everyone's going crazy. Wes Welker, no, it's not a Wes Welker situation, but if it were me, and once again, my opinion don't mean jack, I would have held on to Malcolm Perry and because I think longer term, he has more of a future than just 1 year with Grant. That's just my opinion.
I think with Malcolm Perry, you got somebody who was kind of a Swiss Army knife, right? Could do a couple of things. Not only he'd be the wide receiver. I think when they released him as a quarterback, believe it or not. Because he came in, I think the quarterback from
Navy. What was
it, the Army? Navy, right.
Navy, who would they throw like one pass a game.
Right, exactly. So, and he could also stay in that running back spot. But, you know, I think when push comes to shove, right now the roster has three running backs. And I think that's that was the position, I think, that the coach gave up a spot so that they could run in with seven wide receivers, knowing the situation that we have right now.
And five tight ends.
And five tight ends, exactly. You know, knowing, too, that we have Hunter Long, who I don't think is 100% yet, even though he was in the preseason game last week, and knowing that there are so many wide receivers that are currently banged up and that have a history of being banged up during the season, I think the coach did that strategically. And that's what, you know, that's why we ended up with what we ended up with. And it was, like I said it all along, man, Mike, this is going to be the hardest decision that these coaches have to make. And I said, too, you're going to see some of these players get signed by other teams as soon as they get dropped. And he was the first one, especially to get signed by, the New England Patriots. That was not too big of a surprise there.
And then there was your boy, Jared Doakes. Now the bad news was he was, you know, let go down to 53 man roster, but he did clear waivers. And he's on the practice squad. And as I said to you yesterday in a tweet, Ian, I don't know when, but at some point this year, he will be on that 53-man roster and he will get on the field. Because, once again, the guys in front of him aren't exactly Jim Brown, Walter Payton, and Emmitt Smith. So, and plus, some of those guys are, you know, smaller. They're going to get hurt. They're going to get dinged up. Doakes will be on his team this year at some point. I think he's in the best spot possible on that practice squad. I do think he's about a year away. He looked good Sunday against Cincinnati, but against the final preseason game. But I think Doakes, I'm glad they were able to hold on to him.
I was very, you know, I'll be honest with you, last night I prematurely tweeted out that I thought he was going to make the team because Patrick Laird was released. So I thought they were going to hold four running backs. And I thought most people did. And that's what they had done in prior seasons. So I thought that's where they were going to go. And then when I saw the news, I was really, I don't want to take a page out of Tom Brady's book, but I was deflated. I was a little sad, you know, and my wife actually noticed it. She's like, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just really sad, you know, cause I thought the kid did well enough, you know, but then today I was watching to see if they were going to announce that he signed with the practice squad, that he cleared waivers. And sure enough, he did. So I think you're right. I think this is going to be an opportunity for him. There will be an opportunity because, as we know, also with the running backs, you get guys that get banged up. You know, one of those guys goes down. You only have two left. So, you know, at this moment, of course, because they may end up signing someone again tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they might actually. So I think that's a good spot for him. Now we're going to pick up the pace here on some of these names. Javaris Davis was released. He's on the practice squad. Shaquem Griffin was let go. He's on the practice squad, which made a lot of fans happy. Easy guy to root for. Kirk Merritt, I know a lot of fans were upset that he was let go and he wasn't held on at wide receiver. He's on the practice squad, at least. I will admit, and once again, it's one of those times I know I am in the minority. I know I am. I don't get the love fest with this guy. I just don't see it. But I'm glad he's on a practice squad, at least, because I do think there's something there. But I don't get the over-the-top love fest that he needed to be on the roster. I just don't see it. Once again, I know I'm in the minority. Don't send me your angry tweets. I get it. Tyshawn Render was let go. Adam Pankey, but he is now back on the practice squad. Patrick Laird, he was cut. He's on the practice squad. Jonathan Ledbetter was let go. Jordan Scarlett, the running back, but he's on the practice squad. Jason Strobridge was let go. Craven LeBlanc was let go. And, of course, I think the one name that everyone wanted to see, Reed Sennett, who this past Sunday carved up the Cincinnati Bengals secondary like a Ron Popeil knife cutting a piece of prime rib, baby. Reed Sennett was let go, but he wasn't claimed, and he is back on the practice squad. Ian, what are your thoughts on Reed Sennett from Sunday and Reed Sennett being on the Miami Dolphins?
You know, I watched that preseason game from start to finish.
It was great.
And just watching the team come together like that at the end. And then after the Hail Mary pass that went for a touchdown, after you see Reed sitting there, you know, kneeling to end the game, you saw Tua come running to him. You saw Jacoby come running and jumping to him. And it was just such a wonderful moment. And it's like, that's the way we are going into the season, right? With that feeling, with like a winning feeling and just that type of win, I think was exactly what we needed to springboard us into the first game of the season. I was so happy for the kid too. You know, these guys, most of the kids are, and I say kids, they're 20 year olds, right? They're young guys.
We're old, Ian.
I know we are. But most of these guys that are playing in that game or that were playing in that game, they're either on the practice squad or they've been released, you know, and some of them, this may be the only opportunity they have in the NFL. So to be part of that, to be part of that team, I think was a great moment. And I was very, very, very happy and excited for the team.
Yep. Chris Myrick, the tight end who caught the touchdown, was released and he signed with the Giants practice squad. And I'm happy for him. Number one, because I think almost his entire family follows me on Twitter. So, and they're all nice people. But number two, Miami just has too many tight ends. It doesn't make sense for him to be on our practice squad because it would take almost the airplane of the team having to crash for him to get a spot. There's just too many tight ends in front of him. So him going to another team makes perfect sense. Nate Holly was released. Benito Jones, I think, signed with the Kansas City practice squad, if I read that correctly. Kai Loxley, wide receiver, was let go. Larnell Coleman, the offensive lineman, got hurt on IR, out for the year. He was a project anyways, probably wasn't going to make this team. Calvin Munson, linebacker, practice squad, and Carl Tucker, the fullback slash tight end, was let go as well. Now, the three names who I think, I don't want to say surprises, because I don't know if anything's really a surprise with these three, that are on the roster, at least as of today. Undrafted guard Robert Jones, who had a hell of a day against Cincinnati on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That one video of him throwing the defender off, you know, off his feet. That's a hell of a day.
So Jones, undrafted guy. I hope they can hold on to him. I don't think, look, he's probably not going to play this year, but he's there. Seathan Carter is the fifth tight end. That's probably the biggest surprise for me. One, that they're carrying five tight ends. But, they're carrying five tight ends, and that they're carrying Seathan Carter is a surprise. That's a little bit of a surprise, probably the largest surprise. But, again, we're talking about end of the roster guys here. And the third, which I don't think is a surprise because, as I said last week, there's no way this guy would clear waivers. They had to hold on to him. My guy from Syracuse, Trill Williams, who once again impressed the entire summer in the preseason games. They know if they put him on waivers that it was just writing him, handing him to one of the other teams. They found a spot for him. Trill Williams is here, at least for now. So those three I thought were the biggest surprises. Anything else really stand out to you?
No, I think you got them covered, actually. And I think one of the surprises for me is that the Dolphins did end up finding some backup offensive linemen so close to the end of training camp that ended up sticking, right, with Greg Little and Greg Manx. And these are guys that truly appear to be second-team offensive linemen that will jump in if they need to, if somebody gets hurt. So I think that was a little bit of a surprise because you don't traditionally see that type of move so quick, you know, so close to the end of training camp. But those guys that you're talking about, I'm very happy for Trill Williams. I see his dad on Twitter.
It's sending
a message. It's a great story.
All the fans up here at Syracuse his entire time, you know, his entire time in college, he is just one of the most happy, nice people. So I'm just happy for Trill, his family. Because as I said, when we signed him, when the Saints let him go, there's something there and it might not be year one, but there's something there that in a year or two, I think he will be more of a contributor on the field. But I'm glad they were able to hold on to him for this year.
Definitely.
Now, Ian, it's that time of the show.
I love this time of the show, Mike.
Do you like playing with balls? No, I'm not talking about footballs. I mean your balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to shave your pubes with the Tom Brady of ball trimmers. The brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. Only the GOAT technology for the greatest balls of all time. When you're going towards the end zone, make sure you use the right tools for the job and choose Manscaped. 2 million men worldwide Trust them. So join the movement with our exclusive offer by using the promo code Dolphins Talk, saving 20% on your order and get free shipping. The Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is the perfect package for your package and a key for the great grooming and hygiene routine to make sure your crotch doesn't look like Troy Polamalu. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take your defense to the next level. The fourth generation trimmer features cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% on your order and get free shipping. And don't forget, they ship to Great Britain, Europe, Singapore, Australia, South Africa. It's a global. The Manscaped phenomena is taking over the world. So everyone go to manscaped.com. And use the promo code Dolphins Talkie.
I have to say, Cap came in at the perfect time. He usually says hello to us when he joins, which he did, but he came in during the Manscaped
chopping nuts. Okay. Also, because it's that time of year where I'm not going to get it in time. I'm trying to get it in time. For beers, balls, and betting. Life is back on sports bettors. And BetUS has your UFC, PGA, college football, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year. And live betting is on for all of it. Log on to BetUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS. And if you sign up with them, start an account, they have 125% sign-on bonus with the promo code DolphinsTalk. That's right. 125% sign-on bonus with the promo code DolphinsTalk. And if you like to pay in crypto, now I'm not a crypto guy. I haven't gotten into it yet, but if you like to pay in crypto, use the promo code DolphinsTalk200, and it's a 200% sign-on bonus. You can't beat that.
Nice.
Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industries, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com. And Ian, college football is kicking off big time this weekend. Alabama, Miami, Georgia, Clemson. Thursday night, tomorrow, you got Temple Rutgers. Not a big game, but if you want to bet a game on a Thursday, Temple Rutgers is the game for you. There is so much college football this weekend. If you're bored, you're home, you want to spruce up, make a little excitement, go to BetUS, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, 125% sign-on bonus, and you can make your Saturday a little more fun. If you think the Dolphins, now with our next topic, Mac Jones at quarterback, are going to stop the Patriots in like a mud hole and walk it dry, go to BetUS and bet the Dolphins week one. Make a little money as you watch, you know, Xavier Howard, Byron Jones and the boys pick off Mac Jones 100 times. So everyone go to BetUS.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and make some money.
Nice.
So real quick, we're going to talk about the Patriots more next week, but real quick, it was announced that Cam Newton was released. Mac Jones is the starting quarterback. Ian, your thoughts real quick on the Newton release and Miami facing Mac Jones week one.
I like the fact, and you're never going to take any quarterback, any team for granted, but I do like the fact that we have a less mobile quarterback, a really more traditional pocket passer who's going to be taking over, and a rookie making his first ever NFL start. I don't care who you are, you know, how great you are, how successful you have been in college. You jumping up into the pros at that speed of a regular season game with all the starters coming at you, it's going to be a different feeling. And I know many quarterbacks who have gone on to become Hall of Famers that their first game was a mess because they just need to get used to it. They need to get their feet wet. And that first game is always your feet wet kind of game. So I'm actually kind of happy about it, you know, even though I know some people would disagree, but I was preferring to see Mac Jones over Cam Newton, to be honest with you. So
yeah, me too. We're going to beat his balls off. We will beat his balls off for sure. Okay. Time for the mailbag, Ian. Let's get to the mailbag.
Here comes the Dolphins Talk.
Mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes
the Dolphins Talk.
Mailbag, gotta read some for all you folks.
All right, our first question from Martin McGee. After last season's improvements, does failing to make the playoffs this year constitute a failed season? Yes. Easy one.
I agree.
You know, as I
concur.
As the show I did with Tom, I forget which night it was now, they all blend together. The show I did with Tom, we stated, you know, oh, it was the post-game wrap-up show after the Cincinnati game. 2021, we hold this team to a higher standard. The past 2 years, you're able to look the other way in a few things. You cut them some slack. They're young. It's rebuilding. When you win 10 games, rebuilding's over. These guys are held to new standards. You know, we're not going to be totally unfair to the players, but, you know, if a guy plays bad, we're going to come out and say, no more excuses, he played bad. I mean, that's the way it is. When you're a two-win team and you're trying to make the playoffs, trying to win 11, 12, 13 games, and, you know, things are not going to be the same. They have to make the playoffs this year. So, yeah, it would be a failed season if they don't. Ian, this is more of a question for you since you actually live down there. Tom in Battle Creek, Michigan. I'm coming down to the Miami game in October for a Miami game in October. What is the best pizza place in the South Florida region I should try?
You know, I choose, there's a couple different pizza places, but they're mainly in North Broward that I go to. So there's a place called Pharaoh's Pizza in Tamarack. It's a family owned business that's been around for at least 40 or 50 years.
Oh, wow.
The pizzas are huge. You know, they're not expensive and they taste so darn good. And then if you can find a DeSalvo's, I know there's a couple, I think there's one in Sunrise. That's another one that has some great pizza, but I also love their garlic rolls. And then last one that I'll mention, Mario the Baker's. That place has been around South Florida for like 60, 70 years. Another one of those family owned businesses that just continues to stick around. Those would be my favorites, even though, yeah, there's got to be some other ones that I'm seeing some folks that are already putting in the chat. Isola's, Big Cheese. That's the one that's next to University of Miami. I tried their pizza for the first time ever, like 4 years ago. It was amazing. And the pictures and everything within that building are great. So anyway.
All right. Tom in Michigan, you got some options there. I hope Ian helped out. I didn't really add nothing. Nick Dorsey sent this in and, Nick goes, aside from the Giants with Lawrence Taylor and Michael Strahan, does Miami have an all-time best pass rushing duo with JT and Wake? Now, Nick, I don't know how old you are. I'm guessing you might be a little young. Now, look, Wake and JT are very good. Don't get me wrong. They're very, very good. When you're talking all-time, though, all-time, I mean, you got to factor in, you know, Mean Joe Green and LC Greenwood, the Purple People Eaters, Merlin Olsen, you know, Lamar Lundy, Jones. I mean, there's, you know, you got Hampton and Dent. You got Sapp and Rice. All time is a high bar. You got some guys who played together. Some guys, even if they didn't play. I mean, so Wake and Jason Taylor, who, once again, happy birthday today to Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas, by the way.
Happy birthday, guys.
Them. Yeah, they share the same birthday. Good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. Wake's not a Hall of Famer, though, and some of those other guys I mentioned, you got multiple guys in the Hall of Fame, but on the same line who played together. So it's not an all-time great. It's not bad, though. But it's not all-time level. That's a whole different tier, I think.
I agree. I mean, for the Dolphins, I think.
Oh, yeah, for the Dolphins, know, obviously, yeah.
No doubt. But
there's
right.
A lot of others. Yeah, okay. I got one more. This is a doozy. This one, not that it's that in a bad way, but it leads into a lot of areas. From Jacob in Fort Lauderdale, do you think we will see the Miami Dolphins bench Tua if he struggles in the first half of games like last year? Okay. Now, Ian, we spoke about this last year, and it's one of those things. Last year, you sort of turn a blind eye. Okay, rookie, hip surgery, no training camp, no preseason. You can live with it. This year, under no circumstances, can this happen? I don't care if they're losing 30 to nothing. He's getting sacked every play. You leave him on the field from start to finish. He's got to take his lumps, and we got to know if he's the guy. Because if they take him out, and I know we're not going to talk about that name, but it fuels all that all over again. It shows you where the head coach might not have faith in the guy. It just opens a Pandora's box that they can't open, that they need to avoid like a 10-foot pole. Tua, if he's 2 for 20 with 5 interceptions, leave him out there because they cannot pull him.
We talked about this towards the end of last season that we said, all right, Coach Flores is doing that this year, wants to get to the playoffs. But we also said this coming year, Tua's got to learn also how to lose. Right. I mean, he's got to be able to go over whatever those roadblocks are. He's got to go through those feelings and emotions. But, you know, he is the number one quarterback on our team. He needs to play like a number one quarterback, but he also needs to take responsibility like a number one quarterback if the team doesn't win and is not successful. And I do not think we're going to see him get taken out or yanked unless there is an injury involved. That's my honest to goodness opinion. I just don't see that happening this season.
I don't either. And if it does, if you thought the media firestorm these past 4 days was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. So let's hope it doesn't happen because you ain't seen
Twitter
nothing
yet. Twitter will burn.
Twitter will burn. You know, there'll be people marching outside the new facility in Miami Gardens. So we're going to keep this show a little shorter tonight because here's why, folks. Tomorrow night, we're going to be back. That's right. Tomorrow night, we have our annual roundtable discussion where I will be joined by Ian, Aaron the Brain, and Josh Katzker as we preview the upcoming 2021 Miami Dolphins season, give some of our predictions, thoughts, go over the schedule, what we think, just sort of preview and talk about the season in a roundtable discussion. So check that out. Also, our military contest, it's now I will pick the winners, and we should have an announcement official next week. I'm probably going to save it to after Labor Day because I know between now and Monday, people are going to be traveling. They're going to be at the beach. You're going to be doing this. So let's wait till after next week, and I will officially announce our 3 winners, and we're going to have some more surprises to announce with that. So probably Tuesday and next week, maybe Wednesday, we'll have that announced there. Follow Ian Berger on Twitter at Ian693_, which I just realized I have your wrong one up, but that's okay.
Okay.
_. Also follow Ian on Facebook. No, on YouTube at Big E Miami Dolphins. Follow us again on YouTube. Search for Dolphins Talk. Subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button. Follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. And, of course, go to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got more content each and every day than you can possibly read.
Hey, Mike, before our show tomorrow, you're not going to mention who was right on and who was perfect last year. Is that how you're going to open it up? You know,
I think it was you hit 10 and someone else hit 10, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. I will try to find last year so I have that ready for tomorrow.
I don't get told that I'm right very often, so I really want to.
I know you
sure.
had 10, but I thought someone else had 10 too. Tom, maybe? I'm not sure. I don't know.
You're right.
We'll figure it out. For tomorrow, we'll have some fun tomorrow night, so be sure to check that out Thursday evening. Everyone have a great rest of your night, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins up, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.